That's actually a really good question. How much time do we have?
Science by anybody and for everybody.
How we build that internet is by getting our hands dirty. And so that's exactly
what science is supposed to be from the very beginning, you know.
Hello, I'm Julie Gould, and welcome to the Citizens of Science podcast, an audio exploration and celebration of all things citizen science and open science.
Welcome to the fourth episode in this mini-series trying to answer the question, what is science? This week, I'm speaking to Duncan Richardson, an avid naturalist, music teacher, and in a previous life was a mathematician. Now, for him, his view of what science really was hasn't particularly changed, but there's something else that citizen science has given him that makes him think of it in a slightly different way. I'll let him explain the rest.
Duncan, you have a history or a background in science.
Yeah, I was science and mathematics based all through school, and especially maths in my profession. Until I got a decent job.
A decent job. So what is this decent job that you...
Well, now I'm a guitar teacher.
Okay, so that's quite a big jump.
Seems very different, but music is actually very scientific and very mathematical based. You know, it's all based around physics and harmonics and numbers. People don't realise how scientific music actually is. You know, there's a split between the feel of playing and actually how sound is produced and how notes go together. There are some very interesting relationships between notes and harmonics and stuff.
So you're also taking part in a few citizen science projects, but before we talk about those, before you actually started the citizen science project, what was your definition of science?
To me, science was trying to explain how things work. How everything is interrelated within the world, and coming up with theories and then testing them practically to see if those theories held true so we could understand better what's happening in the world. You know, whether that be a biological reason or physics, why does something fall from a height? And it's trying to... Science should, in the end, then link everything together, hopefully.
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 So let's go on to these citizen science projects that you're doing. So which ones are you involved in?
Right, I do several. I obviously do the UK Ladybirds Ladybird Survey, so reporting in any ladybird sightings you see. I take part in quite a few for the BTO, the British Trust for Ornithology. So again, reporting, so garden bird visitors, and also listing birds that you see out. I do moth trapping as well, and all the moths I catch and then identify get sent to the county recorders and then go into the Butterfly Conservation National Database.
That's already a fair amount that you're involved
lots of different, yeah, there's quite a few. Any sightings I make or IDs that I positively ID, I report to the correct people. So it helps them build up a map and an idea of what species are where. You know, so we've got a distribution, if several people are doing it, you get a distribution of what insects or what animals, numbers and where they are within the country.
So do you do anything with this data yourself as well, or do you just send it in to other people for analysis?
It's more list collecting for me. So I have this overwhelming desire to be able to identify what I see. So whether it be a little bug, I just want to know what it is. You know, to try and put a name to it. So for my own curiosity, I record everything. And it's then just keeping lists of what I see, where I see it. And you build up a life list of different animals, birds and insects and plants you see. But whilst I've got this data, it may as well be put to good use by somebody as well. Now, so if there are people who are studying a certain area, it's good to use your own records to help them as well.
In all the lists that you've collected, have you come up with any trends or realisations of your own?
I'm working on some because one of my main things I work with is hedgehogs. Hedgehogs are declining seriously in this country at the moment. And I'm very lucky in that we had 32 different hedgehogs in our garden last year. Wow. And I actually monitor these quite closely. So they're all ID'd. So I know which hedgehog is which and I know where they are and what their movements are. It's trying to draw some conclusions with this from what data I'm getting, why I get a lot. And then a lot of people are reporting that they don't ever see hedgehogs. Yeah, and again, work with the endangered species lot. Yeah, the PTES, on their hedgehog things, trying to raise awareness on it as well. You know, so some of the work is collecting what you've got, finding out that, say, something is rare or endangered or in trouble, and then just trying to help raise awareness for different people and get it out to a wider audience.
Let's go back to your definition of science then. So do you think that having started all these citizen science projects and seeing science on a slightly different note, do you think your definition of science has changed in any way?
As in the overall picture, I don't think I've changed my view. What I have changed is how accessible science is to anybody, in that, you know, you're sort of brought up in school especially to believe that it's all sort of lab coats in laboratories and all these incredibly intelligent people doing lots of serious experiments. You know, the serious academics doing stuff. Whereas science is actually available to everybody to take part in. And it doesn't matter how small your contribution, you are helping in some way. And I think that's how I've changed my view in what a normal person can do to help. And I think some of that comes down to, of course, social media and stuff like that.
Do you think that has a big part to play?
I think it's had a huge impact because I'm doing more now. I mean, I was always interested and I kept lists before. But now with the advent of social media, especially, say, Twitter, everything's so immediate. And you end up talking to the people, I don't like to say, use the word boffins, you know, that are running these studies. And you've got immediate feedback and immediate talk to, like Helen Roy from UK Ladybirds. If you think about 10 years ago, there's no way I would have ever met her or talked to her. But because of Twitter, you know, we're now in contact. I'm sending records to her. She's actually suggested a couple of experiments I can do for Ladybirds as well. She'd mentioned something on Twitter and I thought, well, if that's true, is this bit true? And she goes, I don't know. Why don't you study it? You've got that interaction as well with the people, which I think helps things.
Well, Duncan, thank you very much.
So that's what Duncan thinks it is. But what do you think? What do you think the word science means? Leave us a comment underneath the podcast on Audioboo or get involved on Twitter using the hashtag CitizensOfScience. That's it for this week, and we've only got two more episodes in this series. But if you have another question that you would like answered about citizen science or open science, why not suggest it to me and try and answer it yourself?
The Citizens of Science podcast is supported by the Citizen Cyber Lab and is produced by Julie Gould, with theme music by Pitch X.